Well, it's wonderful to have an opportunity to proclaim the glorious message of Palm Sunday. I'm just going to read a couple more verses from John's Gospel to complete the reading. Actually, three more verses, verses 20 to 22 of John chapter 12. So, immediately after the events that we have read about, we hear this. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Well, Palm Sunday, what a wonderful day this is, as you will have seen already. I've waved my palm cross, and it's just extraordinary to think about the celebrating crowds on that day. And just a few things about Palm Sunday that we can apply to our lives. So, first of all, and the overarching point, is that we see Jesus coming as King. Jesus is King, and what a King he is. Verse 13 makes it explicit. Blessed is the King of Israel. And the waving of the palm branches actually denotes kingship as well. Victory, kingship. It was an accepted symbol of these things. Jesus comes as King. The shout, Hosanna, he saves, or perhaps save now, is also a shout that is associated with kingship, indeed, which is associated with Messiah, the coming Christ, the one who was going to save his people. Again, we see that Jesus is King, and what a King he is. Up to this point in John's Gospel, we have read on a number of occasions that Jesus' time had not yet come. And so when people got a glimpse of who he was, wanted to really exalt him, he would sort of slip away because his time wasn't yet. But here, as he comes to Jerusalem at the beginning of what we call Holy Week, the time is now here. His time has come. And so he accepts the worship that is rightly his due. Jesus comes as King. When we get to the takeaway section, I'm going to encourage us to bow the knee to him as our King. But I just want to mention this now as we go through this. Jesus is King. What a King he is. Is he King of our hearts? So Jesus comes as King, but he comes in an unexpected way as a different type of King. This is the second thing. And we see a number of things here that the people of the day would most likely have found very unusual. Most of all, perhaps, Jesus coming riding on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. Yes, it's the fulfillment of prophecy, Zechariah chapter 9, and so I'm sure there would have been some who would have been expecting this. But the common view of Messiah was that he would ride not on a donkey, but on a war horse. He would be a conquering military king. That's what people were expecting. That's what people were looking out for. And we can imagine the press of the crowd on that day. Is this the one? Is this Jesus going to be the king, the Messiah, the promised one who will boot out the hated Romans and establish our kingdom once again? Jerusalem had a significant population, but at the time of the Passover feast, it was swelled over and over by crowds of pilgrims who were coming to Jerusalem, including Greeks, including God-fearers, as we read about in those verses that I read to you. Josephus, a first century writer, he talks about how there were, in his estimation, millions of people coming into Jerusalem. That's almost certainly an exaggeration, because at this point it's just a small city by our standards, but we can imagine just the extraordinary press of the crowds and the pressure of expectation. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. He is the King of Israel. What an extraordinary thing. And we could imagine Jesus being carried to political power, to military power. But Jesus is a different type of king. He's going to establish his kingdom not at the point of a sword, but as the points of the nails are driven into his hands and feet. Jesus is a different type of king. He is going to win a great victory. Yes, he is going to conquer, absolutely, but he's not just going to do it for that time and for that place. His victory on the cross has cosmic implications. It is the event upon which the whole of history turns. By going meek and humble to the cross, Jesus wins a victory that is far, far, far greater than anything military power could ever accomplish. He dies for you, and he dies for me. We see that, don't we, in the verses that I read right at the end. Not just Jews, but Greeks are now pressing in to see Jesus. They want to meet with him. And this is a significant moment. Jesus recognizes this. Yes, absolutely. His time has now come. He comes as king, and he comes as a different type of king. Two takeaways as we apply this to our lives today. Firstly, I do want to encourage us to bow the knee to Jesus as our King. It's clear in these verses that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he deserves our worship, our adoration, our thanks, and our allegiance. He doesn't come as a military king in the way that the people were expecting, but king nevertheless, and a king deserves our allegiance. Maybe that you've never bowed the knee to him. Maybe that you're just picking up on this service, either DVD or online, and you just recognize you need to come to him and have that personal relationship with him, as sovereign and subject, as it were. Is Jesus your king? As we come to him in this way, all the benefits of the cross are ours: free and full forgiveness, a new life, a new status, sure and certain hope of the new heavens and the new earth to come, life now and life in the age to come, life in all its fullness. All of this is on offer from our good and gracious King. Bow the knee before him now. But as we apply this point as well to those who've been on the Christian journey for a while, we need to just acknowledge afresh that Jesus is our King. Is he king of your heart today? Is he king of my heart today? Is there something that we are holding back from him? He wants to be sovereign over all of our lives, our workplace situations, our thought lives, our family lives, our life in the community and the neighbourhood, our service in the life of the church. The call is to be 360-degree disciples, nothing left out. And so we bow the knee again to Jesus, our King. Where is he challenging you? Where is he saying to you, I want to come in my sovereign power and take control in that area of your life? Bow the knee to him today. Don't hold back. Jesus is our King. And for the second takeaway, I just want to speak for a moment about the crowd. Remember what Josephus said about the crowds in Jerusalem? He estimated over 2 million people would come, certainly on one occasion, for the Passover festival. People coming from all over Judea, all over Palestine, people coming from other parts of the Roman Empire, God-fearing Greeks, as we see. The streets thronged with people. And here, a goodly part of that throng are worshipping Jesus. Of course, it's true that some of those in the Palm Sunday crowds were fickle worshippers and they would fade away. And yet, nevertheless, something hugely significant and prophetic is happening here. Jesus is King over the whole world, and he invites all to come to him, to worship, to believe, to receive, and to follow him as disciples. But, and this is the point, when we look around us today, we don't see the crowds. As I've said before, in Yorkshire and the Humber, we see 0.85% who seem to be truly following Jesus. Whereas the number of true believers in North Korea is probably close to 1.5%. More believers in North Korea than they are in Yorkshire and the Humber. Where are the crowds pressing in to see Jesus? We have a responsibility as God's people, as those who have tasted and seen that God is good, to reach out to others with the Christian faith, to reach out to the ones and the twos. What we see with Andrew and Philip and Jesus is a sort of one-to-one thing happening. It's something that's small but hugely significant. And as you reach out to your friends this Holy Week, as perhaps you commend one of our services, as you speak to people about the Christian faith, may God be with you and may God work in the heart of your friends. But I want to encourage you also to pray for the crowd, to pray for revival, to pray for God to pour out his Spirit on our land, on our region, on our city, on North Leeds. May God work in power in the days ahead so that many, many people would join the celebration and worship Jesus as the King of Kings, as a different type of King, and as the King of their hearts.